Okay.
Thank you. Welcome. Let me say, got it. I feel so honored to be sharing my experience, strength, and hope with you tonight. I'm like forever a student and a teacher. So please excuse my notes. If you see that, it's because I have like some attention issues and it helps me stay focused, but trust me, I'm speaking so much from my heart. And I've been praying this entire week for the words to come to me as I speak with you tonight. I was going to start off sharing some photos. So let's see how that goes. Let's see. Oh, okay. I just already can't figure that out. So we're going to skip that for now. That's okay. I've never shared on this computer. So maybe that's why it wants me to install something. I just want to briefly talk about my childhood and then move on to adulthood. As a child, my mom was extremely generous, generous with love and, just a very caring and warm person, and also super generous with food. Food was the centerpiece of our family. Our household was full of food. It seemed to be like holidays were just around food and family get-togethers and celebrating and grieving and all of those life events. Somehow food was like the overpowering memory that I have of that. And not only that, but it was offensive to say no. So not just with food, but with other boundaries in my life, it was a lot of like overpowering and I was a pleaser. So I happened to be the mediator in my family. I'm the middle child. I'm the one that, you know, would try to like smooth over things and just sort of do that people pleasing thing. And some of that has been helpful to like never see things in black and white. I'm always seeing things in like gray area. But it also means that I haven't felt very strong in some convictions or my opinions. And so while some of that has served me well in my career choice, but I'm also really good, excellent at convincing myself that it's okay to behave in certain ways around food. And that could depend on my mood or, you know, stress level, or if I'm wearing red that day, it doesn't matter. I'm really good at that. So as a child, I began my journey to using food to cope and really to numb out. Like, I don't know another word for that, but I felt like an ostrich with my head buried in the sand. And actually on the pictures I was going to share, I have an ostrich with its head in the sand because that's what I feel like. It's just kind of like not addressing the issue. I felt different and isolated from my family and friends from very early on. And I think I was really good at masking. I remember wondering when I was very young, even elementary school age, what is wrong with me? And I felt misunderstood, but kind of chalk that up to like, oh, middle child syndrome, you know, and I was always, my family is kind of like type A personalities. And I was like the sensitive one. And, I just think that some of the way that I felt as a kid was the early manifestation of this disease, trying to isolate me from those I loved and the people who loved me. That's kind of how I look back at it now. I always felt fatter than my friends as a child. Looking back at photos, it wasn't super significant, but that using food as my coping mechanism for pain and anger was solidly in place as a child. So I really gained more weight during and after college. I continued to feel a disconnect between my mind and my body throughout my whole life. I have so much shame and denial that somehow it was easier for me to fake confidence and be relatively successful as far as my career and relationships and friends, rather than be a real person. I was unable to face a deep problem. And I always felt inauthentic. I think that's a word. Yeah. I felt really inauthentic my whole life. So some things I would do before joining OA, and I'm a newbie. I will talk about that after, but I have not been in this program long. I'm a teacher, 23 years in public schools. So Valentine's Day and Christmas and Halloween were legit candy fests. And I would eat so much of the mini candy bars. You know, I would not touch the big candy bars, of course not. But, you know, 24 mini ones, I'm sure equals something. And the odd part was I would hide the wrappers in paper towel or, you know, tissue, whatever I could find, and put them in the trash can. I really, it is when I had no kids around, it could have been after school. So I, there was no one I was hiding it from. You know, it's the shame I felt on myself. I'm sure night custodians did not care what I was eating. But it was like this harsh judgment and the pain that I felt like I had to hide it. And I felt regret clearly every time. So in addition to feeling, you know, bloated and full my entire life, I didn't know what it felt like without that. I also had that shame, you know, hanging over me always. I would eat food in the car. Not so much fast food, because that would be, you know, logical, but more like when I was picking up family dinners, I could not get them home without digging into the food, grocery shopping, you know, always putting some in the trunk and choosing what I wanted to sit in the front seat with me. And then I got out and making it look, you know, legit, reclosing packages, just, you know, this unhealthy sort of mindset about food and binging. One of the more difficult things for me to admit that I have just recently kind of come upon is that I feel food protective. So even from my husband and much worse than that, my daughter, I have a 16-year-old, and even when she was little, you know, kids always want to share, and I would share, but I always had this really crappy feeling that went along with it, bad thoughts. And honestly, it would affect my mood for long after the meal. Food was the highest level of importance in my life. And I really did not realize how high it was on my list until I went through the steps and was able to be real and introspective about my journey with weight. You know, before OA, I loved to go to friends' houses even more than I did now, and just, you know, to help them clean up, because that's less people in the kitchen. And I, you know, could help clear platters and dips and desserts and whatever was left in there that, you know, we don't need to wash that. There's only two things left on it, and let's do that and then wash it. So I have tried so many of the programs we all know about in here, in addition to nutritionists, dietitians, and lots of therapy. And therapy was invaluable to me in many aspects of my life. But the combination of that physical, spiritual, and emotional side did not come together until OA. I knew something was missing in my life and something was wrong with me. I just knew that, but I didn't know what that was, and I didn't know how to work on it. So to share some numbers, my top weight was 278 pounds, and I'm only 5'4". So my knees hurt from arthritis. I have crushed discs in my back. I hobbled down the stairs 1 foot at a time. You know, I always think of it like a toddler, like step together, step together. I've had pneumonia twice. I have a dead nerve in my leg. You know, and I'm telling you these things not because it's directly necessarily related to my weight, but it is related to my body not being a safe place and not being strong. I was always worried about sitting in a booth, in a restaurant, on an airplane, on kids' chairs at school. I remember I didn't want to sit on the chair, so I sat on the desk, and yeah, the desk, you know, broke out from under me. So all of this led up to me scrolling for online for solutions to my weight problem on the internet, like, you know, where we go for everything. So I had already convinced myself, along with, I think, a few of my doctors, that the blood pressure medicines I was on, you know, was causing me to gain weight, and the antidepressants I had been on, you know, were keeping me from losing weight. I felt helpless and desperate and chaotic and all those negative feelings. Everything hurt when I moved and when I didn't move. And I was just really uncomfortable in my body. And this went on for decades. This was from college until, you know, a year ago. So last April, moving forward with my story, I attended my first OA meeting. And the words struck me like so deeply that it was like the missing puzzle piece was found. I could not believe the vulnerability that I saw in these rooms that I heard. I had never, ever spoken, would not dare to reveal these sides of myself to anybody before this. I admit that I had to put aside some of the like higher power talk at that time. I wasn't ready to hear it and wasn't in the place for that. But the shares that I heard gave me hope. That's what I needed. I needed hope. I needed to hear that there were people like me doing similar things to me that worked their way through this. And I really felt hope from meeting one. And that was just what I needed. It felt like a life preserver. God, between the ostrich and the life preserver, I'm sorry, these analogies are so cheesy, but I really did feel like a life preserver had been thrown to me. I realized I got a wonderful sponsor who's here tonight. So happy. I feel a little like emotional talking about my sponsor and a couple of my buddies from my first original meeting that I like, they always have my heart. I had to change my time because I have a change in schedule, but just love seeing like the support that I have here. Anyways, after joining OA 6 months ago, almost October 9th, out of the blue, I had sort of out of the blue, you know, the signs were there, but I did have a major heart attack. And I was only 48. I am 48. So that starts part three of my story. And I find it interesting and kind of funny in a weird non-haha way that the share of this part of my story of hope begins with the heart attack. Thank God I was home. It was on a Sunday. And I had no signs before this, besides, you know, the doctors telling me in blood work, those are clearly signs, but no physical signs of my own. That was a warning. And it was on a Sunday. I felt pressure on my heart. And, you know, long story, semi-short, within 2 hours, I thank God went to urgent care, then was rushed to the ER by ambulance. And I now have 2 stents in my heart and literally saving my life. I would sit in these OA meetings day after day. I was going daily and hear people say that this disease is trying to kill them. I could not be more convinced that like this is trying to kill me. In the ICU, I was like, what the hell to the nurses? But I joined OA and I lost 50 pounds at that time. Like, what's going on? And, you know, they said that, who knows, had I not even until that point, you know, released the weight that I had, I may not have had the signs. So you never know timing in life, but I don't know what, if that may have saved me. So today, you know, fast forward a few more months, I've now released over 85 pounds, not a 100-pounder yet, but, you know, God willing, I'm, you know, one day at a time, heading in the correct direction for myself and for my own health. I pray to my higher power every day to remain abstinent, to continue to view food as nourishment and not such a big ass deal. It's lowered in my priority now. Also just to continue with OA and the 12 steps. And most importantly, really to remain present and appreciative every single day. So many aspects of this program resonate with me and have helped me much beyond the weight. I literally use the tools and what I've learned in here in all aspects of my life with work and relationships and everything. And I know people here, you know, I've heard them say very similar. I love the idea and I have since day one of taking what you can from the meetings and just leave the rest. This has really helped me grapple with some of, you know, things that we hear that doesn't always resonate with me at the time or doesn't resonate with me, period. But that's okay. I can leave that and take what I need. What the words that go through my head is why not? And I relate this to what I've heard in OA as like act as if. To me, it's like, why not? Why not? Why the hell not? Why not try it? You know, what's it gonna do? I'm not gonna cause damage. It's gonna be okay. So that is how I surrender. I surrender in the very simple way of saying why not. And to me, that just simplifies a lot of BS I put into my own head, and the games I play with myself. So, I just wanted to, share a story of the first time I felt the power of my higher power, for me to be aware of it. And it was when one of the times I was mindlessly, I'd already joined OA, but I was like by habit, mindlessly going up to my refrigerator and opening it. Like, how many thousands of times have I done that? Just boredom or anxiety or whatever the reason was, standing there. And I reached out and I kid you not, I felt a shock. It was like a physical shock. I don't know. It sounds so cuckoo to say that, but to me, it was a miracle. And I believe this was the first real acknowledgement I had of my higher power caring about me. I know my higher power's been there. I know this higher power cares for me, but it was the time that I acknowledged it, that I had access to my higher power, not just as some, you know, it was just so memorable and so strong for me in that moment. And I thought, oh my gosh, like there's something that is clicking for me to feel that physical jolt. Just something else that helps me for myself today is to remember meditation and prayer can be done throughout the day. I don't normally have time to take 20 or 30 minutes in the evening. I'm now going to cardiac rehab in the morning. So I don't always have the time there either, but I use the time, like whether it's on my elliptical or in an elevator or when I'm cooking dinner or sitting in my car or taking three breaths at my students' recess time. I mean, it does not for me have to be a big monumental thing. I used to, you know, light the candles and lower the lights and wonderful. I do love doing that. And I do that sometimes too, but it's not an excuse for me not to ground myself and to be centered throughout my day and reconnect with my higher power. To me, that's an important part that I use throughout my day many, many times. So besides connecting with my higher power, I usually attend 3 to 4 meetings a week. When I don't, I feel the chaos of food creep back into my life. It's like clockwork. I make and I answer outreach calls. I try to be of service in meetings that I attend. And I just love all the large and very small takeaways I get from every single meeting. I also eat 3 healthy meals a day. I do have 2 optional snacks. I know, you know, everyone in this program has their own thing, but since I eat very early in the morning, I give myself optional snacks. And my sponsor suggested that. And I thought, well, optional snack, of course I'm going to take optional snacks, but I have come to a point in my program that I do not always, you know, need to or choose to do that. So a miracle. So I've recently found these 100-pound meetings, or fairly recently, it's all recent to me, but I realized that this is actually where I feel home. This is where I am finding the most strength and inspiration and ability to be myself in these meetings. So now I am open to sponsoring, even though I'm totally a newcomer. I hope I always will feel like a newcomer. I really need to understand the seriousness of my disease, and I want it to smack me in the face every day. I know I'm looking at my notes because I just wrote huge. This is not temporary. This is not going away. That's kind of the gist of it. And had I not found you guys, I'm convinced I would not be here today. You know, had I not found you guys, I would not be able to handle the death of my mom, which I haven't even gotten into, you know, emotionally in a way that has helped me to move on. Had I not found you guys, I would not be in touch with my body the morning that I had my heart attack and was able to recognize something was drastically wrong. I'm not sure I would have been able to do that before this program. And I wouldn't have listened to my OA meeting on my AirPods from the ICU the morning after my heart attack. That's how important this is to me. And I feel emotional talking about it because that's what I did. You know, the morning after I had this massive life-changing event, first thing I did is I popped in my morning awesome, you know, sunrise meeting that I go to, and I just listened. That was it. And I was so dedicated, and I am so dedicated that's it's such an important part of my life. So my higher power works in really interesting and amazing ways because this week is my 1-year anniversary of joining OA. It's just amazing timing for Andriette. So grateful for her asking me to speak. I thought that was very surprising. And I texted her right after saying, I can't believe it. Like, that's amazing timing. But I am going to go ahead and close out. I see I'm almost 20 minutes in, but I feel so much gratitude for you giving me the opportunity to share my story with you. And I hope you can feel like love and appreciation through this screen. Thank you.